Now, the verse which I'm going to speak upon first occurs in Habakkuk, in Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 4. The just shall live by his faith. I'm going to explain what it means and the four different contexts in which it occurs in the Bible. The just shall live by his faith. Now, a just person in modern English is considered to be somebody who is fair, somebody who makes fair decisions and unbiased decisions. They are just people, and that sense does occur in the Bible. But just here means justified. The justified people shall live by their faith. The just shall live by faith. We sung in that hymn, the sinner that truly believes and trusts in his crucified God, his justification receives redemption in full through his blood. Justification is a technical term used in the Bible. All subjects that you study, whether it be science or geography or engineering, they have their technical terms. And this is one of those technical terms, justification. It's a legal term, and it means to be pronounced not guilty. It's as easy as that. Justification means not guilty. So here are men and women, here are we, guilty sinners. Some of you, I think, sometimes say, oh, I do feel guilty about something. And actually, though it really isn't worth the name of guilt, perhaps you shouldn't even be worried about it. It does seem at the time to be quite difficult. So imagine what it is like actually to be guilty in the sight of God. He's given, for example, 10 commandments. They're not the only thing he commands. But we may say that so superior are these 10 commandments that they are not even once to be considered that we should disobey them. And that list of 18 that we read includes disobedience to parents. We've all done it when we were children, all of us. Unlikely that there's anyone here who wasn't disobedient to parents. And that's just one sin. And we are guilty. And God is angry with wickedness. The severe punishment God wreaked after the crime of Adam and Eve in disobeying him, to curse the earth, to make work hard and other things for Adam and Eve and subsequent generations, shows just how much he loathes sin. The particular sin was disobedience in this case. But God loathes the things that spoil, the things that would destroy heaven, and for which Satan, beginning to think on those lines, had to be thrown out. Justification means then that guilty men and women are found not guilty. Now, how can that be? The answer is that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who alone has the right to forgive sins, took human flesh, was without sin and died to bear in his sinless body, to bear the punishment of everyone who believes in him, the punishment from God, the wrath of God that is correct for the sins that men and women have done. And as man, he did no sin, so he alone could withstand God's wrath. He could withstand it even for all his people put together of all time. They are justified. They are found not guilty because he has borne their sin. He is substituted for the sinner. You may think that's not fair, but so far as I know, always in law, at least in its early days, it has been established that if somebody pays the price, then you can go free. That punishment cannot be taken twice. And one of the hymns says that, that a sinner cannot be punished twice, once for his own sins, because Christ has borne them away. Christ can't bear them and fail in what he does. So just in this text means justified. A believer found not guilty, or perhaps even a believer not yet, who one day may be encouraged to be a believer because of the truth. Now we're told here, the just shall live by his faith. So here you have a justified person. And in order to be saved and in order to become spiritually alive, he believes in Christ. Now, faith is a synonym for belief. Faith is a synonym for trust. To trust in a crucified God is to believe in one, to have faith in the Saviour. So the justified person lives by the faith in which he puts that trust initially that the Saviour has died for him or for her, that it was his sins, her sins, for which the Saviour endured what he endured on the cross. You might say, oh, my sins don't matter, there were so many others. But if you've been the only one and there'd only been one sin, the same amount of punishment, or at least the same nature of punishment, would have had to have been carried by the Lord Jesus Christ. He would have had to have been crucified. It is a mystery to what extent he bore increasing pain for the great numbers of people. We don't know the answer to that. But he would have had to have died if one sinner, only committing one sin, had sought to be pardoned. So the just, the one who is to be found not guilty, shall live by believing, by trusting that the Lord Jesus Christ has borne away his or her sins. But of course, to get there, you have to recognize what your sins are, and you have to repent of those sins. And that's what the Bible does. It declares the nature of people, the nature of man, and it declares the nature of God, and it declares the things that are right in the sight of God and wrong. It shows us our sinful nature to bring us to repentance. And that's in order that we might be saved. There's no other name given than the Lord Jesus Christ by which we may be saved. I suppose if you were going to court and were found not guilty, even if you knew you were not guilty, it would be a mighty relief Especially if there were those who were prepared to give evidence or twist your words or your actions to say that you were guilty of something you weren't guilty of. But when it was all over, it would be a mighty relief. And those whose sins are pardoned by the Lord Jesus Christ, who are found not guilty, to experience that wonderful relief. But they're not going to do it again, are they? Well, at least, not deliberately. But such is the mercy of the Lord, that once pardoned, the Lord will always raise up those who fall again. But the justified person, the one who is not guilty, shall live by his faith. That means to say, having become a believer, he believes in Christ as a not guilty sinner. He can come to Christ, he has access to Christ, may believe in Christ, and not be put away, not be refused access to the Father. We look at it as the Lord Jesus Christ who bore our sins, prays for us, brings it each individual believer who's been found not guilty and presents them to his Father. The Father always wanted us to be saved. That's why we were chosen. So, the just shall live by faith. But it also is quoted in Romans chapter 1. We read it in verse 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. For in it, therein, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So this quotation from the Old Testament, this word given by the Spirit to Habakkuk, is now being used by the same Spirit as being so true it can be used again and again. It's being used for something else. Paul says, and all who have been found not guilty say, they are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How could you be ashamed of the one who finds you not guilty, especially when his Son has substituted for your sin? So we love the gospel that speaks of this justification. It is the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes. I think when we think about the situation in the world, it is good to remember God so loved the world. He does love the world. He so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish. He loved the world. He loved it that he gave his Son. And everyone who believeth, of whatever age, whatever time, shall not perish, shall be found not guilty. He loves the world. But he knows who his own are. He loves the world. But those who believe is the reason that Christ was given. We do not know. Only the person feeling in their heart the power of the gospel can know. So the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. In Psalm 33, it says the word of God is right. And here's another sense of a word that is shortened. Just means one thing, but justification means something slightly different. And the word right, where it occurs in Psalm 33, verse 3, means righteous. And righteous, of course, means right in the sight of God. Two words that rhyme there. Right in the sight of God. So the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. But it is only revealed to those who exercise faith. Now we trust where we cannot see. We don't need to have anything proved to us. Faith puts our trust in the living God. That is what faith is. Now, when it says the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, it means this. There needs to be exercised faith in believing in Christ. And the righteousness of God is revealed to one who exercises that faith. But then it goes on and on through the Christian life. It's revealed from faith to another degree of faith, to another degree of faith, to another degree of faith, until we shall enter into heaven. As it is written, the justified, shall live by faith. This is a wonderful hope. It's a wonderful gospel. Substitutionary atonement is a wonderful truth. And these are the things that we may enjoy, but they are emphasized. This is the second of four times. And we'll now turn to the third of four times, which is Galatians 3 and verse 11. But I'm going to read to you from verse 10. The whole chapter really needs to be read. It's the contrast between the works of the law and faith. But in verse 10, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified in the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now, the Jews had the law. And the law includes those Ten Commandments of which we spoke. When a man came to the Lord Jesus and said that he'd kept, well, not that man, but the same principle was being said to the man who said, what more had he to do than the law? And Jesus said, well, thou shalt obey the Lord thy God. He had not kept the whole law, though he had hoped to. The man who was willing to justify himself, and for which Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, who is my neighbor, he asked. The Lord illustrated it by saying, your neighbor is the person that you meet on any given occasion. And help and love. And Jesus said, this do, and ye shall live. You can be saved by the law, provided you haven't once ever failed. It's never been done. Jesus knew it would never be done. So he said to the man, this do, and you shall live. And surely he would come to the conclusion he couldn't do it and needed another way of salvation. The rich young ruler who kept 8 of the 10 commandments since he was a child had not kept fully the commandments of loving God with all his mind and heart and soul and strength. So he wouldn't be saved as he was, and he went away sad. The works of the law are not faith. It's often the case when somebody first hears the gospel that they say, I must reform. I must improve. I must change. And they go about to do things that are kind or nice, or not to swear, not to do other things, you know, just not to, or to do other things specially. And after a while, they discover they can't. They tried, but the more they tried, the worse it seemed to get. And that is because works and the works of the law do not achieve salvation. They are not faith. And what Paul is proving here is, he said, if you keep the law, then you expect wages. But wages have nothing to do with faith. Faith is given freely, and faith is sustained freely. That's all argued out here. But he says, the justified, those found not guilty, the just shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, that the man that doeth them shall live in them. In other words, he has to keep them all. And the fourth of the occasions is in Hebrews, and it's chapter 10, and is verse 38. But I'm going to read to you from verse 35. Now, the Jewish Christians, the Hebrews, were wobbling in their faith. They were brought under tremendous pressure from the Jews to go back to their Judaism, which would mean going back to the law and having to do things. They'd learned something better, but great pressure was brought upon them. And some of them were considering, perhaps, going back to the old way. And in verse 35, Paul prays and beseeches them. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, which is to believe in Christ, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, that's unto a lost state. But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. There's a bit more of Habakkuk described in this particular text. Habakkuk has, yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry, and tells believers to wait for that time. So what does the Lord do? Now, if we draw back, then we're going back to a way that is a way that is rejected by God. So he would not be pleased with it, and it would lead to our lost state. But we're not of those who draw back into perdition. However, as Habakkuk said, we need to have patience. While all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, things don't always happen. And things happen slowly, for God has a long period of time. And sometimes God does things or allows things that are hurtful or seem destined to ruin our faith. It is that our faith may be tested, the saint may be proved wrong. But we need patience, not to begin to say to ourselves, when everything doesn't seem to go right for us, I don't think Christianity works. I don't think it works. I tried it once, but it didn't work. I find that probably the greatest number of people who are really, really, really opposed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ are those who were brought up in childhood and rejected it. Preach the gospel to them and they'll generally refuse it outright. Preach the gospel to others and maybe they'll consider it. But they've turned away. They said, we're not going to go through with this. I know our parents did, but we're not going to. We don't like some of the things about it. And the error may be with them, not with the things. But we are to have patience. We're not to throw the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ away because we see some difficulties or because our life is fraught with difficulties. The Lord will bring us through them. He'll bring us through when we're depressed, the slough of despond, as Bunyan says. He'll bring us through when we might be self-confident. But the Lord always brings his people through. We should not cast away our hope. We should not cast away the only way of salvation. Because the just shall live by faith. Throw away faith. Throw away belief. Throw away trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you draw back, the Lord will have no pleasure in you. And you say, it seems a long time. Well, the Lord taught that he was going away for a long time. And it's been 2,000 years. But yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and not tarry. I understand that. As you all know, I'm quite a stickler for time. And if somebody's 5 minutes later, I sort of say, don't think we'll wait any longer. You should, of course. And that's a fault in me, that I'm such a stickler for time. But you see, the time will come when Christ returns. He will come and he will not tarry when that time is appropriate. We've been found not guilty. Or we can see that we would be found not guilty if we put our trust in Christ. Then hold on to it. Keep it. It is the supreme way. It is the best way. It is the only way of salvation. The just shall live by faith. But there's one word that's missed out in the New Testament quotations, which is there in Habakkuk. The just shall live by his faith. Just emphasizes how personal it is. A personal faith. Others can't have that faith for you. Others can't lug you through the narrow gate and pull you into heaven. It's got to be personal. It's got to come from your heart, from your way. The just shall live by his, and of course that's a generic word, his or her. The generic word of this generation, the only generation there's ever been, that's ever thought that you're going down on women because you say his. Every other generation in the world knows it's a generic word. The just shall live by his, her. Just faith, but it's personal. If you want to live, if you want to be found not guilty, put all your trust in Christ. Repent of your sins. Turn to him. And enjoy that relief, not to say release, of being found not guilty. Of course, in a court of law, you may not quite know which way the verdict is going to go. And until that time, it's uncertain. Once you're certain that you have been found not guilty, it takes away a mountain of fear and depression and trouble. Commit your way unto the Lord Jesus, and the Lord will make you to know the joy of that salvation. Amen.